I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work with strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to
The Big Ones.
Each week, we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The questions can be complicated to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself. Will you like what you see?
Allie Stoltz and Paisley Gray.
Oh, yes.
That's right, everyone.
I was mouthing all
me
the
words.
Do you have it memorized?
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys want to give it a try?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to be the Amanda?
I'll be Amanda.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm going to turn you, but right before you go, I'm just going to turn you guys down just a hair. Okay.
I think I need the first few words of what you say, Maria.
Hi, everybody,
and welcome to The Big Ones.
Uh-oh, Allie missed it. You have to say The Big Ones.
Oh,
I'm going to stop and start you until you get it perfect.
Okay.
An acting teacher did that to me once with a monologue from Spoon River, and I started crying. And he goes, now you got it.
I'm already crying. I'm emotionally broken down already.
Okay.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Big Ones.
Each week,
we discuss brain-busting moral choices, dilemmas, and relationship snafus.
No, snafus.
It's easier when you guys were doing it.
And I could, because I hear it every week.
Each week we discuss new ethical questions,
ranging from historical decisions
to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The questions can be difficult to discuss because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself.
But will you like? Oh, I missed it.
What were you
doing? The questions can be difficult to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about
because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself. Will you like what you see,
Allie Stoltz and Paisley Gray?
Wow, I hope
that didn't
everyone,
go as well as I thought.
Yeah. But I think everyone who's listening right now is saying that out loud with us.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying something out loud, and it's turn it off.
Just kidding. So you guys, you know Paisley because she's been on the show before. She was on The Robot Show, one of my favorite episodes.
Me, that's right.
Is Robbie the Robot. And Robbie, it was would you let your daughter date a robot? And then we did improv where you brought Robbie the robot home, and Robbie was a beautiful piano player.
Oh, that's right. He was. He really was.
They're still together, my daughter and Robbie.
Really?
Yeah, they're doing well.
That's good to
hear. He works on a cruise ship.
What? Doing what?
The piano. In the lobby.
That's so nice.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And does he stay on the boat when they get to port? Just because like he doesn't need to see all that stuff. He's seen it. It's programmed.
He's charging. It's a plug-in.
He's recharging.
And then you guys know Allie because Allie's on the Pistol Shrimps.
Yeah. And I'm listening every week to this show so people can feel that probably.
I got to take these off. They're freaking me out.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Maria's taking her headphones off, but
I'm sorry, I don't like the sound of my own voice.
Okay, well, now you're the only one without headphones on.
I feel fine. I feel good.
Do you do that every week?
Sometimes I don't have... Sometimes we rarely have headphones on, to be honest.
I normally do because I'm normally at the computer
running
the session. So that's a lot of responsibility on me.
Well, Robbie's on the computer today.
Yeah, I wish Robbie worked here. But Allie's on the Pistol Shrimps with us, and Allie's a big fan of The Big Ones, and...
Yes.
Allie was on Late Night Lemonade.
Oh, my.
That's right.
Yes.
Which was Amanda and my internet streaming talk show.
That we had before they were cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Way
10
before.
Years ago.
You know, it was like way before. It was when they were
And so actually, Allie, you were on one of our season finale episodes.
Was it?
I think so, because it was the camp episode, yeah. Right? And so, Allie, because you were a camp counselor, right? We had you on to do a fake camp experience on Late Night Lemonade. So we got, you know, did something a little unconventional where we all sat around a fake, I think instead of a campfire, we just had a space heater that we put in the middle.
That's
and
so
then
true.
We set blankets around it like we were at a campfire. And then, Allie, you want to tell us about the game you led?
Yeah, that was insane because we wanted to do a summer camp game. So we did the Cheeto Face famous game where
the picture just entered my head.
Covered her face in shaving cream while Maria threw Cheetos, and we saw how many Cheetos could stick in a minute. And you guys had some really gross watchers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That loved that.
Maria and segment. I always find ourselves accidentally stumbling into these fetishes.
And that was a top fetish in that year.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay, so there's at least three different fetish communities we've accidentally hit a nerve on.
That's
so
true.
one was the shaving cream on a girl's, covering a girl's face community and having Cheetos sticking to her face. The other one was we did this video, Little Mysteries, where we got slimed. Nickelodeon slimed by a slime machine. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's a whole community out there where people like to watch girls get slimed.
And messy girls. I think it's all messy girls.
Okay. But then the other one that we touched upon was when we used to do tickle time on Late Night Lemonade, where a buzzer would go off and I'd have to tickle Maria for a minute.
Damn.
And then apparently the guys went wild for it. So people would always be writing in tickle time, tickle time.
And then they would... They would do this one camera angle where it showed our legs, and we call it the perv cam.
You guys are such innovators.
Yeah.
I love it.
That was a good show, Late Night Lemonade.
Paisley
it
and
was
I,
a great show.
We would
tune in all the time.
Yeah. Paisley and I had like a fetish interaction with the messy girls.
You did?
Yeah. Do you remember?
Oh.
In college?
Oh, yeah.
Allie was like the first person on YouTube, I feel.
Oh my
really?
God.
You're thinking of something different.
Okay. The one I'm thinking of is in freshman year, we had a friend, Jared Rodriguez, and his roommate would watch this porn. And it was women whose cars got stuck in the mud.
And then what?
The tires would spin.
That's pretty much it. It was just sexy women
going.
Getting their tires stuck and like pressing on the gas, and the tires are just spin and spin and spin in the mud.
And they were just in this driver's seat.
Yeah, uh-huh. And then they'd get out and like try and push the car a little bit.
And they get all muddy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And were they in, yeah. Yeah. Were they in clothes?
I forgot about that. Yeah, they were clothed. Mm-hmm. They were like sexy women.
Allie called it porn.
They weren't. Well, there was so. It just felt like it.
I think she was wearing a bathing suit top.
Yeah.
Okay, so she had just come from the pond.
The pond? It's a rainy day. Why is it muddy? She's heading out to the pond for a dip.
No, she was dipping in the pond. It started raining. She had to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Mm.
I've been there.
So what happened with the messy girls? Tell us.
Say this one, because if it's not what I'm thinking, we have... You go.
No, I was thinking, because Allie was truly like the first person I know who used YouTube at all. So we would film stuff all the time with each other, and she would upload just random little things when we would do stuff. And as roommates, we would always prank each other. And Allie and our other friends would prank me if it was like a dorm with a suite with the bathroom in the middle. If I was in the shower, they would come in and pour cups of cold water on me as I was taking a shower. So she uploaded it to YouTube, and it had a remarkable amount of views. You can't see anything.
No.
It just the title, I think, was something like Paisley Shower or something.
All the comments were like, pull back the curtain.
See, we are all just wanting innocent fun.
Yes.
Look what happens.
Also, Maria and I took on the gun lobby without unwittingly took on gun owners.
But like, on the wrong side.
Oh. Well, because we did this episode of Little Mysteries that's on YouTube called Amanda Gets a Gun, where I got a gun and
and it was a real gun.
It was an airsoft rifle. But
it shot.
Anyway, we really upset a lot of gun owners because they were like, this is giving gun owners a bad name because you're showing yourself being really irresponsible with this gun.
She was putting the gun in her mouth. She was waving it around.
We didn't
loaded, but yes, it was a heavy, it was, you know, it had to be purchased in, you know,
in torrents.
Oh, yeah, that's real.
Yeah, so obviously we all went to college together, so that's how we all know each other. But we really didn't start, I mean, we hung out a little bit in college, but mostly we became friends again through the pistol shrimp.
Yeah. Yes, the game.
Yes.
The art of the game.
The art of the game.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we're so excited to have you guys here because we know you're fans. And it's so nice to have people on that listen to the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like seeing, I went and saw CSI being filmed once in high school, and I'm getting a lot of same feelings.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Seeing the room here.
Oh, my God.
It's very CSI vibe.
Yeah. The chalk outline is amazing in here.
So you guys know the drill. Do you guys have a little big one?
Yeah, yeah, we do. It's a little bit hot topic, maybe in the climate, current climate of today, but we wanted to go there.
Yeah, it might sound more on a macro level, but I think we kind of all deal with this with family members, and maybe we're all afraid maybe it'll happen to us as well.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, I'm ready for it.
Tell me what I'm afraid of.
Okay, so the general idea is... Is it moral or right to have one political belief in your younger age and then change when you're older? For example, be liberal, be very much about liberal welfare, food stamps, children, food, school vouchers. Okay. But then when you become rich, be like, I'm a Orange County conservative.
Amanda. Mm.
Amanda.
Listen, I get this because I think what you're saying is sometimes when people get older, they start getting more fearful and they want to protect themselves above everyone else.
And their treasure.
And their treasure.
But is that...
Is that okay?
It's your prerogative to change as a person.
I don't think... Yeah, I mean, I don't think I don't think there's anything morally wrong against it. You would just hope that the person isn't changing so much where they become evil. Do you know what I mean?
But do you guys know people who have become like full-on conservatives as they get older?
Yeah.
Yeah, like we know people who maybe have benefited from like government programs in the past and have made a good life for themselves because they had those programs and now they are rich.
Are you thinking of one person?
No, like kind of more of a general few people that we know.
Yeah. See, how do you know that's rich?
Well, you know, not like rich, but you know, they're well off and they're established.
See, I think there is something morally wrong with that because it's like you benefited from, like these liberal programs. And now that you have what's yours, you're tightening the purse strings and saying, I don't want to pay taxes. I don't want to support these social programs that can give other people a leg up like how I got. But sometimes people's brains full on change
that's
when they get
Yeah, but I don't want to pay taxes now.
Right.
I feel that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I get.
But that's because we're poor.
But that's the thing. It's like I would be more apt to like be like, okay with paying taxes as a rich person than I would as a poor person. Because as a poor person, and I'm not poor. I don't want to say poor. But as a, you know, someone who doesn't make a lot of money, it's like I get angry and I'm like, well, I get so little. Why can't I keep what I make? Whereas if like I made money, then I'd be like, and if I made enough money, it's the middle. It's the thing where you're in the middle that gets a little iffy, because if you're like a billionaire, then it's morally wrong because then you're just greedy. Right. Mm. But if you're in the middle where you could go on either side, you could be like comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's a sweet spot.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah,
specify.
That like, is very hard because it's just, I don't know. I don't know why people change their points of view. I don't know if it's because they learn more or they become more protective of themselves.
Well, I think people get scared of like not being able to support themselves as they get older because we don't take care of the elderly in this country. And so I have seen in my own family, people as they get older getting more fearful that they're not going to have enough. They're going to be sent away to some home. And so they start to get kind of like that more conservative mindset of like, don't take my money, you know.
Right. It is hard because how do you calculate how much money you need before you die?
How do you? You don't know how long you're going to live.
Yeah. like, you can't just say, okay, $1 million. No, that's a lot. Okay, you can't say, like, I have $20,000 for the next 10 years.
That's not enough. Allie, $1 million for 10 years is not enough.
That's fine.
Not if you live in LA.
That's fine for me. I'll get a roommate.
What about, let me ask you guys this, though. Is it morally okay to be a billionaire?
No.
Yes.
Wow. Talk it out, girls. Let's hear it.
Well, okay. I recently was like telling my friend, it is not okay that we rely on rich people to change our world. Like, malaria has to be solved by Bill Gates? No.
It's Melinda's priority.
You're right. It's a woman's job to take care of kids.
She's not doing anything.
No. But my friend said, you know, no, billionaires can take risks that the tax dollars shouldn't. So, like, a very crazy program to eradicate polio that might work or might not, a rich person should take that risk to, like, get it off the ground. And then if it works, the government can step in, you know, and like with a safety assurance. So I think that's kind of cool. I thought, I don't like rich people solving our problems, but then she said, no, they're just taking on the initial risk.
But that's also assuming that billionaires are good people like that who will actually spend their money on programs. I don't think a lot of billionaires, I mean, how many billionaires are there? But
I mean, some of them do, but also it's like not all of them do, of course. So, and then that's more money than they could ever possibly spend.
Yeah, it does get to a point where you're like, what are you, what, why do you need that in the bank? You know, but I guess a lot of it isn't in the bank. A lot of it is in like
overseas,
like Bitcoin.
That's right, Amanda. Yeah, a lot of it's in Bitcoin. A lot of it's e-commerce. Yeah.
Well, this is one thing about the original question is like, maybe we are all in our 20s, so we haven't seen everything yet. So we're like kind of judging these people in their 50s, 60s who are more conservative, saying like, oh, they're so lost. But what if they're like, no, I've just seen it fail. I've seen my ideals not work, and I'm... We haven't learned yet. That's their argument, I think.
Mm-hmm. I could see this because suddenly things are starting to happen to me as I get older that I never thought would happen to me.
You got your period.
I got my period. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I recently took a trip to New York. And
if that was it, that was the thing.
It was crazy. No, but I was, you know, I talked about this on the podcast before, but I had my first panic attack in the spring. Oh. I've never had a panic attack. Okay. And then since then, it's like opened this panic portal in my brain. Right. So now I can sense when one might be coming on.
The drum beats.
Yeah, the drum beats. And so I was fine. Okay, on the flight over, I also had kind of a cold. So on the descent, my like ears popped really bad. And I was just like, I started sweating and I was just like, oh shit. Like, I can tell the first signs of a panic attack are coming on. But I was able to just like breathe and it was all fine. But like, and then on the plane ride back as well, I just like kind of felt a little bit panicky, a little bit claustrophobic. Even being in New York for a couple of days, I was like, I started to feel claustrophobic. I was like, I can't see any open expanse. I can't get the lay of the land. Like, everything's buildings. There's so many people everywhere. It's never even occurred to me. I've always like loved that hustle and bustle. Right. And I was just kind of like, oh, I could never, ever live in New York. And that's something I never, ever would have said before. I'm like, I can live anywhere. I actually feel like I'm a person who's like pretty sturdy and adaptable. But I feel like I'm getting, as I get older, I'm getting a little bit more like, what's the word? Like, not gentle, but like needing to be like
tender
or something. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. I'm like, oh, so I understand when there's older people and I see them like, oh, they don't like to travel or they won't fly. Now I'm like, is that what I'm becoming? Where now I'm kind of like, yeah, maybe next trip is a road trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that vibe of facing like all of these possibilities of wrong things that can happen. And I had that experience on another smaller level when I went to Six Flags, because I used to love roller coasters. And I went to Six Flags like 5 or 6 years ago. And every roller coaster I went on, I approached it with, this is the last ride of my life. Like, oh my God, I might not make it out of this roller coaster. Because like there's teenagers working the ride.
Yeah.
Things go wrong. And every time I got on the roller coaster, I couldn't help but think like I might die on this ride. And it's just that fear-based thing that I think becomes more and more real the closer you get to death as you get older.
Which is so crazy that that really does happen. So I do in some ways feel like, yeah, we can't really judge people who kind of become more conservative as they get older, because we don't, you always think that you know the most. Like even when we were in our 20s and teens, we thought that we knew more than people in their 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy because, well, the thing with me is, which is kind of funny, is that I was such a fearful kid. And I mean, fearful to the point of, what do you call it?
Like you weren't debilitated.
Yeah. Debilitation. Where I was that now I get out of that more as I get older. So I'm kind of like the opposite of it in a way. Where like I'll see kids riding like roller coasters and I'll be like, what? Like that is crazy to me. Like I didn't go on a roller coaster until I was like 19 or 20. Mm. And by roller coaster, I mean like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And now you're a full-fledged coaster head.
Yeah, now I go.
There's
No, I won't go on loop-de-loops very much. I don't like a Six Flags roller coaster. Like I'll never. Like
What do you guys make of like a very rich, no, like $200,000 a year income? What's that?
That's like your middle class.
Okay. What's like an upper middle class couple in their 70s who are so liberal? Like, did they just say,
that's hot?
Yeah. Just kidding. Did they just say, you know what? I'm sticking with my Peace Corps vibe. You know,
well, there are. I'm always impressed with the billionaires and the really rich people who are like, tax us. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Like those people out there. What? And I'm always like, that's so cool. But I love like to Allie's point, like a couple, like an upper middle class couple in their 70s who are still liberal. There's a lot of those people out there. And that's what I want to be.
Me too. Yeah. We have some friends, my husband and I, who they're in their 70s and they're like some of our best friends. They're the best.
Amazing.
Also, I feel like if you are in your 70s and you're liberal and you're hanging out with young kids and you don't have to worry about hoarding all of your money because those young kids will take care of you eventually.
Yeah. Or they'll take your money once you die. Well,
that's what we're thinking.
Yeah. That's, keep them close. Uh-huh. Exactly. Keep them close.
Yeah.
But what you don't think it's morally right. You think it is morally okay for there to be billionaires.
No, I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't want to be one. That's something. I don't want to be a billionaire.
How much money would you guys want to make?
I think
a billion. Yeah, I'll take as much as
10,000.
999.
900.
I want to make, I just want to pay rent, buy like expensive cheese and like have a nicer whiskey than I've ever had before.
Do you guys want to try this bourbon whiskey, this Blom Brothers?
You don't want to see us unhinged. We can't.
They're going to get loose-lipped.
They're a listener.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And we bought some of their whiskey.
That's right.
Oh. Well, that's love cool.
It. Have you tried it, Illinois? Maria? No, you did, though.
I did. I tried a little bit of the bourbon. It was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Really the delicious. The Blom Brothers.
It definitely has a kick, okay? So that's real
what
bourbon.
What kind?
A sharp kick.
Oh, my God.
So you're saying, like, and you want to, like, what kind of apartment do you want to pay rent for? Don't you want to own a house? You don't mind.
Well,
don't
speaking care. Of, we got LA's premier real estate agent in the house right
that's
now.
So true. Yeah. Paisley Gray. That's right. If anyone is looking to buy a house, you go over to Compass Real Estate. You find Paisley Gray.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And she will hook you up.
If you have a dream, she has a house.
So, Paisley, you're working for rich people with rich people buying houses now, right? Like,
I'm working with everyone buying houses.
You are there. Okay. And so, what are you seeing? Are you seeing?
I'm seeing a lot of different things. My clients are more on the middle class side, but to buy a house in LA is insane. Like it's just so expensive.
What's the middle
class
in LA? It's like $1 million.
It's
a million dollars.
Yes, it's a very normal house. Like a very classic normal house in LA is about $1 million. It's ridiculous, but it is what it is. But sometimes I'll go, they have brokers opens where agents will go and see other agents' houses that they have for sale and, you know, kind of see what's on the market and get a feel for like value for homes. And I'll go to like $25 million homes in the hills, and it's just on another level of the things that you would put in a house are insane. And
not to mention, it's like if you buy a house like that, like the upkeep would cost you so much money in the property taxes.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You have to be super more rich than you even think.
Yeah, and like with heating and electric and water.
Yeah, and then like some of them have those like the garages where they turn your car around so you never have to like back out of your driveway.
You don't need that. That's something you don't need.
Yeah, and then you think like if that broke, then you have to get that fixed. But it's funny because I'll go up to those houses and I'm not a personal fan of like modern homes, and it's so nice and opulent and lovely. But then I go back to my little place and I love it so much more. Like it's just home. Like I don't feel that there's a need.
You don't need
for
it.
That.
Yeah. I sometimes Matt and I will play this game of like who of our friend group and like people we know would be fun, rich people.
I would.
So we'll be, I think, well, what I always say about you, Maria, is that like you'd use most of your money for pranks. And,
no,
like,
I would
to
not.
Do, like,
you've not said, most of my money.
Yes, you
yes,
said
I would,
you would like send like weird statues out to your friends. And
yeah,
like,
she's not have a UPS guy, you know, knock on the door. It would be a huge like Venus de Milo.
Yeah. But I do think you would be good because you'd entertain.
So, I entertain and I take everyone on trips.
Oh, fun. Yeah. I think I'd be a good rich person because I like to have parties.
You don't think you'd hide it away?
I'd probably buy like a vacation house. And then I think I'd have parties. I have parties now.
Yeah, I know. I know you do.
You think I'd hide my money away?
I don't know.
I mean, we'd be smart with it. That's for sure.
There we go. Yeah. There, we heard it here.
Smart.
There we go.
Whistle. Dog whistle for Cayman
She's
Islands.
She's switching her political party now.
Green that's, party that's no longer.
My way of manifesting to get rich is to become a Republican right now.
You've got to.
Do you guys think like who? Oh, should we play the game? Who on the Pistol Shrimps would be the best rich person?
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to say me because I really do think I would thrive as a rich
I think
person.
You would be great. You're really great at getting people together.
Mm, that's true.
See you doing a really great group trip.
And
I would also say Ingrid.
Yeah,
that's why I thought. Would be great. Exactly. I think she would buy us like really cool like t-shirts with like cool graphics that we wouldn't even know existed.
Yes.
She would get us really cool skincare products.
Yeah, I could
she has her finger on the pulse of like trends.
Yeah, Ingrid I think would be really
or
good.
Or Jessie I think would just buy people shit. She'd like be like, you need a new car, here's a car.
Yeah. Oh yeah, very generous.
I'm afraid Jessie would just get a private plane and fly it around until all the money was gone.
She'd use it all on fuel
or a water bill in her mansion.
Yeah, who do you think, Allie?
Oh, I thought Ingrid right away. I don't know, something it wasn't, I didn't think she'd buy us t-shirts. I think we're not able to.
I don't know, I she
we
always
can't
has
dream
a cool
big enough.
Graphic tee on, I feel like she would involve us in that somehow.
Yeah, she'd buy us all subscription boxes for something, so it'd be every month like, God, Ingrid, thank you. Like,
yeah,
I don't know
a
if it'd be
natural wine of the month
oh
club
god that'd be so
a
good
a meat box.
You guys, I don't think you understand. I have been itching to be a certain wealth my entire life.
Wow.
And
how
I know.
I'm aware.
That's so
and
scary.
I know.
That's what she wants.
It's an itch.
Not that I want. It's that I know what I'd do with it. And I would. And I'd be smart
you'd
with it.
You'd buy a house in the Hollywood Hills.
Yes.
And you'd have
for a couple
excellent
years.
Dinner parties.
Oh my God. How did you know?
I've listened to the big ones.
I would only live there for a couple years. And then I'd go. And then I'd go downhill.
to the people
then I go I'm back but I wouldn't be really back because I'd be you know
so yeah. You would just rent a house in the Hollywood Hills?
No, I'd buy it.
You buy it and then you'd sell
flip
it.
It
yeah
flip.
No, I wouldn't flip it. Allie,
someone would flip it
someone
for you
would flip it for me.
I if I'm rich, I'm living no matter what, I'm living by the beach. I want to be on the beach.
Oh, wow.
And you know, it gets hazy, it gets cold at the beach, like people dog on the beach.
They what?
People dog on the beach.
What's dog on the beach?
They're like,
oh my god, that's Pennsylvania.
Oh, the beach is so stupid. That's what dogging is, right?
People dog on it.
Dog on it.
Allie, who dogs on the beach?
I thought that meant like shit on the beach or something.
It's hard because some beaches are like dog friendly, like a dog beach, so it's confusing. Yeah. No, some people just say... the beach is so foggy.
Ew, who said that?
What a loser.
One girl I know. Yeah, and it made me so mad. I lived at the beach and she said, oh, it's so foggy. And I was like, bitch.
Yeah,
no, it was me. I said that.
No, we don't bring stuff up. Paisley and I don't beef. We push that stuff down. That, yeah, it was someone else.
It's nice to dream, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. But I'm going to say I'm not changing my politics. No matter what. No. I'm going to be like the older couple that I respect and love. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you guys won't either. But Amanda, you should change since you're already Orange
She's
County.
She's on her way.
No, I don't think so. I'm Orange County conservative, of course. But truly born and raised so liberal. Come from a liberal family, which I'm so grateful that I was raised with parents. Like my dad, full on like public defender, protesting the death penalty in the 70s and the 80s. Like so cool.
That's so cool.
And yeah, so I am very, very proud of my liberal family.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
It is a blessing, truly.
Well, God bless America.
I'm so proud of my liberal family.
So you guys, we got to do our ask.
Oh.
Oh, yes. By the way, I started learning about doing daily affirmations this year and like self-help things. So, someone had told me like you should be doing a daily affirmation every day and have it in your mind. And I had one, but then it started morphing in my head into you guys telling me to like and subscribe. It was something, you know, I had in my head like you will have a great day today, like you will like have control over everything you do, whatever. And then it turned into you will subscribe to our Patreon.
Oh my god, but Paisley, you still aren't a subscriber.
No. I've never been on the Patreon website. I don't quite understand it. I've only ever experimented with the Apple Podcast app. So,
and we thank you for that. Yeah. But you guys, like Paisley's saying, or Allie, do you want to do it? Because you can get in there.
I think if you're out there, if you're listening right now, and you haven't liked, if you haven't subscribed, if you haven't rated and reviewed, you're a garbage truck. And you're sorry to dog on you, but there's nothing of moral value inside you, but there can be.
Yeah.
If you make the change. Mm. You got to make the change now though. And there's no time like the present, and wasting another minute is despicable.
It's giving the devil time is what it's doing.
In the devil's hands are the idle workshop of tomorrow. So let's get out your phone right now. It's already out.
She knows it is.
And make the change.
Stop telling them to make the change. I'm going to read. Allie, that was beautiful.
Thanks.
That truly
Thank
was.
You, Allie.
I feel I'm sweating.
It feels like kind of good and weird to like bully someone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And Maria did text me the other day. And a couple of times, you know, over the last months since we've really tried to like hit a certain level of reviews, Maria's texted like, our reviews are so nice. Check them
out.
Yeah,
they are.
I went on the other day and I read a bunch of our reviews and it really warms my heart. I think our listeners are so great. And thank you, everyone who has reviewed. And yes, if you have not reviewed yet, you are a garbage truck. So, but it's not too late to make the change.
This person says 5 stars is from MT9270. 5 stars, not just because I was yelled at.
Mm. Yeah.
Then this person says their hair is perfect. And that's going back to a Ghost Girls review we once got where it said, oh, look, another TV show with two girls with flat hair. And this is from Gorgeosity. A man and Maria are brilliant and funny. Their discussions are the perfect combination of careful consideration and fun banter. It's both entertaining and thought-provoking. Guests are always great as well. I already love Ghost Girls, Please Make More, and The Complete Woman, and this incorporates the elements I love from both those things. Plus, some great food for thought. Thank you for the premium content.
Aw, thank you. That's really heartwarming.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So should we set it? Okay, so we got to 500 reviews, which means we're going to do a live call-in show. Mm-hmm. And so we'll just give out your personal cell phone number that. And then, so should we set a new goal? Or are we going to, we have to fulfill the first marker.
If we get to 1,000,
we'll show you our boobs. Aren't you curious, you guys? You hear our voices all day long, but you want to know what our boobs look like.
Yeah, maybe. All right, guys, we're going to take a break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, guys, we're back.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, Allie, was that shocking for you?
It was absolutely shocking.
Did you think we went away and got a snack or something like that?
I didn't know what happened.
Yeah, we just leave so a little cool. Yeah,
it's so cool.
It's nuts being here.
All right, Amanda, I sent you the big one.
Oh, thank you.
And this is one Amanda hasn't even seen yet.
Oh, cool. I know, I can't believe it. Okay, and you sent it to my email, huh?
Yeah, I did.
I see it here. Are you guys ready?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
It's 1969, and you are a physician at a local hospital in the Bronx borough of New York City. After months of working extensively with the catatonic patients who survived the 1917 through 1928 epidemic of encephalitis, you discover certain stimuli will reach beyond the patient's respective catatonic states. Actions such as catching a ball, hearing familiar music, and experiencing human touch all have unique effects on particular patients and offer a glimpse into their worlds. You come across a drug that may offer a breakthrough for your group of catatonic patients. Although most of your patients have no living relatives, you are able to get the permission of one patient's mother to test the drug on her son. Lo and behold, the drug causes the patient to awaken and experience life as a fully functioning human being. You try the drug on the rest of the patients, and the hospital becomes full of life with the awakened patients. But as time goes by, you find that this is a temporary measure, and the awakening is only temporary. Each patient slowly begins to sink back into their catatonic state. Is it right to give the patients a taste of what will ultimately be taken away? Is it right to test a drug on someone who cannot consent? What would you want if you were the patient? Wow. So where did this from your brain?
This is, I dreamt it and I said, I've got to write it down.
Are you kidding?
No, it's from the movie Awakenings with Robin Williams and Robert De Niro.
What?
It was directed by Penny Marshall. And it's a real life story about these in New York. There was this flu epidemic, encephalitis, which basically normal kids and stuff got this flu. And then all of a sudden they slowly turned catatonic. And then 30 years later, they were literally now, 50 or whatever. And this doctor came along, Oliver Sacks, I think was his real name, who Robin Williams plays. And he came along and he found that this Parkinson's medicine could help them because it was like their catatonic state was like one big tremor, basically, is what he assumed it was. And so he gave the drug to one of the patients, and all of a sudden the patient one night literally woke up out of bed and was like walking around. And so all of these patients started to just be, and they were scared because they were looking in the mirror seeing themselves as old people.
And their brains were still children's
brains. It was like they had gone away.
their brains had gone away?
That was the thing. No one knows really, because they would respond to certain music. They would respond to, he'd throw a ball and they would catch it like that. My. So they had that. But if you talk to them, they wouldn't talk back to you. But then they were alive and well, and they didn't know what had happened to them. So they were confused. It was like they had been just in asleep.
Is this a movie you recently saw?
Yeah, I'd seen it before, and then I rewatched it. I didn't finish it this last time I watched it because I had to go to bed. But
it's a good movie.
It's really good.
I want to watch it.
Robert, yeah, it was nominated for Best Picture, and Robert De Niro was nominated.
I've seen like two movies in my life.
So, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
What movies?
Mamma Mia,
Mamma Mia, and Police Academies.
Wow.
So it's hard to, cool to listen to this show because I'm like, what's that plot?
Yeah. You know? This is like your entertainment podcast.
It's like watching a movie and a show.
So I'm sorry, you don't watch movies, you watch TV?
Yeah.
What do you read?
She travels a lot.
Yeah, I'm always on the road.
So, okay.
Sure, the world is her TV.
Playground.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess that's living. Okay, this is very interesting.
Yes. Thank you. So anyway, needless to say, they realized it was a short-term effect, and they all started to slowly go back into their catatonic state, and so here we are.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I'm just imagining if I were one of those people, what I would want. Like, I can't really...
Because they didn't know. It wasn't like they were like, oh my God, I got out of there. It wasn't like Diving Bell and the Butterfly where they were like there. But did
just
you...
Just trapped in.
Ali's eyes went white. They were just... Nothing was there. And it's a movie. It's Ali had never heard those words together.
Diving Bell.
His mind is fully functioning, but he can't move at all. Yeah. And so it's very claustrophobic. And so that was not the case in this. It was that they were completely asleep. But, you know.
I mean, I hate to say this on a podcast where this is going to be on record in case I change my mind down the line. Like, just make sure you've listened to the whole catalog of the big ones before you do anything drastic. But I don't want to live in a catatonic state at all. So, like, please pull the plug or euthanize me.
But here's the thing, Amanda. That's okay. And that's noted.
Yeah.
But they didn't know what was causing it. So they had just... So when he went to this hospital, there was this group of people that all had this same condition. But it was just like no one knew it was from this encephalitis. He was the one that discovered it. Mm. So to say like they're always going to be catatonic or like this is incurable, they weren't able to say that.
Yeah, but like how many years were they like that?
Well, one case was 30 years.
That's crazy.
The thing about catching the ball was that before the medicine. So they're catatonic, but they can just catch a ball.
Yes. And no one had realized that until this doctor came along because he new. Just
chucked a ball in.
Yeah, exactly. He got mad. And then it got to the point where he could literally sit them all in a circle and they could pass the ball to one another. Oh, all of them.
Then that's before the medicine.
For the medicine.
And then he's like, I think I got something here for these guys. And then he didn't know it was temporary. He thought this is going to be...
He didn't. Well, no one knew. It was literally an experimental, like... It was a hunch he had.
And is it like a temporary thing where you have this awakening, you go back into a catatonic state, and then you can take the drug again and have the awakening again?
I don't know. I don't think that's how it works.
It's like a one-time thing.
I think it was so expensive because they had all these donors of the hospital like paying for it, basically. So it wasn't, you know.
Oof, that's tough. I mean, I think like, why not? It's only like I feel like you had to do that. I guess it's like, now do you have an obligation to continue to do it, you know?
But would you want it as the catatonic, like if you were awakened and you were like, oh my God, I've been asleep for all these years, and then you started to go back into your catatonic state, would that be worth it?
It's hard to say because not knowing what they would be thinking during the catatonic state, if they have like some sleeping. Sort of... But if they're reacting to music and things, like, do they know that there's more?
You're probably, like, somewhere in between consciousness and unconsciousness.
Like The Cell.
Yeah.
With Jennifer Lopez.
Maybe.
Look at, Allie. The Cell is a movie with Jennifer Lopez where she's in a coma and she's in a nightmare.
Oh, God.
Yeah, movies are crazy, Allie.
I think I'm... off the bat, although we're getting already pretty deep, I'm just like no on all of that. Because similar to Amanda's, like, do not resuscitate that she just did on air.
Well, she didn't say that.
DNR, baby.
I'm just thinking, like, if something happened bad, it's over. Like, let's not draw this out. Let's not. I'm over it.
So do you want to be euthanized?
Like me?
When?
like me?
Yeah, whatever you do, I'll do.
But, okay, so this medicine was discovered. Who's to say that a better version of it isn't going to be discovered right. in like 5 years?
Well, where are you at with all this?
I don't think I'd want to be woken up and then put back to sleep. Like, I don't think I'd, because you know, and I think what they were hearing and you know, reacting to music, I think it was all a subconscious kind of, and I think... It wasn't so much that they were... If I was diving bell and butterflying, which we explained that to you, Ali, you're clear on it. If I was that, then I would be like, either get me out of there or kill me. Because I'm not going to be someone stuck in the box of my body. But if I don't know what I don't know, then I don't need you to wake me up.
Isn't it 'tis better to have loved and lost, though, to have never loved at all? Like, if you could have a quick little visit with your friends and family.
I don't think I'd like it.
So are you DNR?
No, I'm not. Amanda, stop.
But just to be clear, you'd like to be kept alive like that?
If it was clear that I was...
Catching balls, that's enough?
Well, if I was catching balls, you'd know something was off.
Not true.
How about the question of, is it okay for people who can't consent to that kind of experimentation?
Well, have you guys heard this recent podcast about the man who's in a coma, but no one knew his name?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's the LA Times production.
It's wonderful.
It's called like Man in Room.
Yeah. And his name, they named him like
Garage
325.
Yeah. Why garage?
It was all very suspicious, but basically he was picked up on the side of the road in a coma, car accident, and the hospital didn't know who he was. No ID, no nothing. And they just kept him in a coma for like 15 or maybe longer years. Because they couldn't do anything. They didn't know who he was.
Right.
Then this journalist like finds out who he was, contacts his family. It's so nuts. And there's a little conspiracy. But
it's called Room 20.
Room 20. It's really, but it's interesting because he had no identity. It's just this person. Like, yeah. Is it even a person if you don't know their name, their identity? It's just like a shell of a person. But there's somebody in there.
Yeah. I mean, I do think, okay, so someone's in a coma. They don't have friends or family to consent for them. If your intention is to help this person, then I think absolutely you almost have an obligation to do it if you're a doctor. But if you're just wanting to use someone like that to experiment on, to like test stuff out on, then I think that that's not right. But if you think like I have something that could possibly help them, I mean, I would want that done for me.
Even if you don't know the full side effects of it?
I mean, I guess that is experimentation, but yeah, I mean, at that point, you really have nothing to lose.
What about the family? There are families, right?
Of the one, there was the mother that was like very okay with them trying it out, but then most of the other ones had it so long that they didn't have any family members or anything left.
Oh. Then that's no quality of life at all. Yeah. That's zilch quality of life.
But so. You can't just go kill people. Like they were living people. It wasn't like they were.
I know, but I'm well.
I mean, how would you go about and like I can't kill I guess, them?
You mean euthanizing?
Yeah,
them?
But what would you do? Like, at what point would you go? Okay, let's euthanize them now.
Sorry. Just turn the power strip off.
Amanda's awesome. I don't want to go anywhere near the Amanda Lund Memorial Hospital.
This angel of death.
No, I'm not saying you should euthanize them without anyone's consent, but I think the word euthanize is horrible, but
yeah.
But if there's medicine you think might help them, you're saying there's a risk that it could kill them also, is what you're saying.
Well, they don't know. I mean, the thing is, it's like, what outweighs what? Is it the fact that there's the possibility it could cure them, but they don't know the effects of it, so it could also kill them?
It's so hard. I'm wondering what your guys' personality types are like in regards to this, because like I feel like I feel very uncomfortable doing anything without someone's permission, like even like moving someone's grocery cart out of the way to like get something off the shelf. Like if I don't have permission from someone, I feel very, very hesitant to do it.
And you've been stuck in grocery stores for
hours just waiting. But I also feel like if I were a doctor, me waiting for someone's permission might just be immoral because I might have the cure.
Yeah.
I'm totally out of school here. I'm the only untrained improvisational actor.
Oh my God, I thought you were gonna say the only untrained doctor in the room. I'm the only one not in the medical field.
I skipped grad med school. I don't know what it's called. But would that help us like
figure this out?
I wanna do like the straight man portion.
Okay, you know, what do you think is gonna help us most? What scenario?
Maybe the when they wake up with the medicine.
Yeah. Oh, that could be good. They wake up with the medicine and then we have to explain what we did.
Okay.
And they're only awake for like, you know, 30 seconds. It's not a day or whatever.
Okay. So, Amanda, do you want to be the patient?
Okay. I'll be the catatonic patient.
So you wake up. Or would it be best if we did something where it's like we're four doctors discussing... Like one of us.
Why don't we do both?
Okay.
So we can do. So I'll be the catatonic patient. Allie, do you want to be? Who do you want to be?
I could be your mom.
My mom.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's good.
And then who wants to be the doctor? Maria.
Well, I think I'm the clear choice.
Right.
Okay. So Maria's the doctor, and then maybe Paisley, you could be like
the euthanizer.
Yeah, just say the word.
Or actually, Paisley, you could be the mom, and I'll just be another catatonic patient.
No.
I'll be the nurse.
Yeah, you'd be a doctor. Yeah. Two doctors.
Okay, so what if Allie and I are both the catatonic patients and we both wake up?
You know, I think it's good if she's the mother because then she can speak from that point of view, which is someone whose daughter has been gone for many years.
Okay. All right.
I think she's waking.
Looks like it might be working.
Oh, my prayers have been answered.
Ooh. Morning.
Oh my gosh. Kathy.
You're
kitty cat.
It's you.
Hi, mom.
Kathy, we're going to give you this mirror and we don't want you to be scared.
Why do I need to look in a mirror? How long have I been asleep for?
Here.
Doctor, I don't know if that's the first
step.
Yes,
the first thing we need to do. Here, Kathy, look.
That's not me.
Yes, it is, Kathy.
That's not me.
It's you. You've been gone for a very long time.
What did you do to me?
We didn't do anything.
Kathy, you've been asleep for 15 years. We found a cure for this, so you're awake now. We don't know how long it will last.
What?
Yeah, yes.
But would you like us to do this again if... I'm not confident in the doctor. I think this might fail. Do you want to go through this again, Kathy?
The worst bedside manner. I wake up, you show me a mirror.
Kathy, do you want to look in the mirror again?
Oh my god, I'm crying.
Kathy,
we think it's going to work. We've done this for you.
Wait, Mom.
Because we love you and we miss you.
Okay, I mean, can we just like talk for a minute before I have to decide?
Okay, but Kathy, how are you feeling right now? Are you glad we woke you up?
I mean, I'm glad I woke up, but you're telling me I'm going to fall back asleep?
Yes.
Well, that's horrible.
Well, it's possible. It's a new drug. We don't quite know. Do you want this to happen?
It's wonderful. It's so wonderful to see you. Also, I've been dreaming about this.
It's nice that your mom...
I've been dreaming about this.
Yeah, so your mom was very adamant in trying this drug out because she wanted to talk to you. Yeah.
Where's Daddy?
He and I had a fight and it ended very badly. But I'm here.
So what should we do? How long do I have?
30 seconds.
Yeah, 30 what? More seconds. So how do you feel?
Sleepy?
Okay.
I don't think I want to wake up again.
Okay, did you get that, doctor?
I did. So you are saying DNR?
DNR.
Okay, night-night. And scene.
Okay. Wow, that was so clear. Shocking That's to wake right up and then have someone say, yeah. You want us to do it again?
What'd you see in the mirror? Like, just did you even recognize yourself?
I did not even recognize myself. That was horrible. No, that's like too shocking. That's crazy. Yeah. To wake someone up like that and they are old now. Like, what is the point of all of this?
And I, as the mom, I felt sad and just, it looked like a mess. Like, what have I done?
Yeah. You
know, I didn't feel like this is the moment I've been waiting for.
And as doctors, it was thrilling to see. It was something we never thought we could accomplish.
It's just, yeah, I just, let's just pray that nothing, we never go catatonic like that.
So,
it's horrible.
So, final thoughts? What do you guys, to the three questions, what would you want if it was you? Is it okay to experiment on someone like that without their consent, even if it's for their well-being? And is, you know, it right to wake someone up only to take, you know, life away from them again? Amanda?
Okay. If it's between being in a catatonic state and if those are the two options and waking up for a brief moment, I guess, yeah, if I'd rather be put down in this scenario, yes, I guess I would want to wake up. Why not?
Oh, even you had that experience, you want that. Yeah, after that.
It's better than just being in no man's land forever and ever. You might as well try. I'm open to that. I think sometimes you have to make decisions if you cannot get a patient's consent. So I think in this case, it's obvious that they're trying to help. They think this is going to help. I don't think it's okay to experiment on people, but I don't think this is necessarily an experiment. I think they really thought it was going to help. And what was the third question? Do I want it to happen again?
Even though, no, that's Paisley's question to you.
Do you? No, the third question was
how many times would you want it to happen?
I guess like whatever.
Is it
like
right to do it? Is it right to give someone and then take it away?
You're not taking it away, though. It was just an experiment that didn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out. So,
I actually thought of something. So let's say I'm a new father and my woman's pregnant, my wife.
Okay.
And then I get the disease, encephalitis, and I'm out. Then she wakes me up to see my daughter.
Uh-huh.
That's great. I'm so happy she did that. Like, because I always wondered what she was like. So it's like Amanda didn't have anything to wake up for.
No, because where was dad? You know,
yeah, that's the thing. You kept looking for dad.
My dad.
Yeah. But like, what if Amanda was like, before she died, she was thinking, because the encephalitis, it came on slow. So it's like, oh no, I'm going to never see my baby. And then, you know, wake up and you see your 15-year-old.
That's
amazing.
Great. That's great. I would love if you guys had woken me up and showed me like an iPhone.
Oh, that would have scared me. That would have scared
really?
Me.
Really? Yeah. Or just like showed me like whatever, a flying car or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm actually pro now that I think about what you would be excited to see. Because it was just very scary for Amanda. But, you know, it could be happy. It could be a happy time. Yeah. But then so sad to just go back, turn the lights off again.
And to know what's happening this time around. Because before it was, you didn't know. But now you do know.
But this is what's great about waking someone up even briefly. You could wake them up and then you could say, hey, do you want to die?
What? Like,
would you rather die or do you want to go back into the darkness? And then they could decide themselves. And depending on what state you live in.
Or do you want to do it again?
Or
do you want to do it again?
Yes, that's true.
I mean, the darkness or the sleep, I mean, they're playing catch. They're listening to music. It's a good life.
Might be.
In some ways. Easily. Athletically.
Yeah, if I was going straight back into a catatonic state where I'm not really having coherent thoughts and I'm not thinking about this experience that I just had and I'm not like frightened by it or anything, then I guess I would be into doing it, especially if I got to see loved ones. If it was something where I did have a memory of that happening and I had to live inside my brain just thinking about that moment and not knowing if it would happen again, that's just so purely torture. I would not want that. And if I were a doctor, God, oh God,
the things you would do.
not getting consent from a patient would be so hard. If I had their parents' consent, of course, but gosh, I don't know. That's the question that's really hard for me to answer, is not having a patient's consent, because as confident as I am in it, what is that even based off of?
Yeah.
Paisley's spiraling in front of our eyes. She's losing all touch.
I'm having a crisis. Yeah.
She's in New York City. The buildings are closing in.
I'm on a roller coaster. I think I would ultimately do it just because I'm a scientist and for the sake of science, yeah, discovering that.
Yeah. Are doctors scientists?
Mm-hmm. They sure are, Amanda.
They are?
Yes, they are.
Do you have to get a degree to be considered a scientist?
Oh.
Like, is, you know, like a doctor, you have to have like a doctorate?
Uh-huh. And a medical degree.
A medical degree.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But like a scientist, how do you become a scientist?
to be honest, I don't know.
Like, I don't actually think a doctor is a scientist.
Yes, well, they medicine are. Is a science.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
But is,
well, they're not artists.
But scientists aren't doctors.
They can be.
I think like biology is a science. Anatomy is a science.
Okay, so okay.
Chemistry is a science.
Do you need just a normal college degree to be a scientist?
That's what I'm wondering. Is that,
from do you LMU have to go as a get, scientist?
Like, some special.
Well, I think if you're a doctor, you have to. I mean, it is a science. Medicine is a science, but also you have to adhere to scientific principles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mother Nature is also in control.
Oh, my God. So and that's you in medical school going, yeah, so what? But.
Okay, well, that was fascinating. Maria, did you want to give your final answers?
Yeah, I think as a doctor, I think I would do it if I saw good changes happening with the consent of, I would need the consent of one person. And then if the changes were positive, then I feel like I would owe it to those patients to give them that opportunity. And then if I would not want to be woken up, because I would not want to go back. I wouldn't want to be woken up and then taken away. So yeah. Anyway, go see Awakenings.
Okay. Is it in theaters?
It was in 1991.
Okay, so now we should go to our Dear Big Ones. So here we go. Dear Big Ones, I was walking into Nordstrom one day at a crowded outdoor mall with my husband and my 10-month-old son. After taking 10 steps into Nordstrom, I found a gift card on the ground and picked it up. Perhaps not worth mentioning, but I have an odd amount of good luck with finding valuables on the ground, mostly money. Anyway, I picked up the gift card and we went into a section of the store to call and check the balance. The balance was $495. Upon hearing this, we swiftly exited the store as an unsaid agreement amongst my husband and I that we would be keeping the gift card and not handing it over to an employee to place in the lost and found. After we exited the store, we were a little shocked and giddy. We decided we would abuse Nordstrom's return policy and buy an item or two for as close to $495 as we could get, and then exchange the items for cash a few days later and use the money to go to Disneyland as a family for my son's first birthday in April. On my way into the store, I saw a teenage girl frantically looking around the front of the store. She swung open the door to the E-Bar, Nordstrom coffee shop, and I followed. I heard her ask the barista if she left her gift card here from her earlier purchase. I walked out. I went along with my plan and purchased two purses from Nordstrom and received a free gift with purchase a small Kate Spade makeup bag. On my way out, I heard her on the phone breaking the news to the gifter. I'm guessing a parent. I don't know. It's just gone, she said. Me, my two purses, and my stone-cold black cart walked back to the fountain where my husband and son were waiting, and we promptly left the South Orange County Outdoor Mall.
There you go.
April came, and as we waited in line for the Nemo ride with a churro, beer, and plush Wally toy in hand, in my mind, we made the right decision. But I have to know, what decision would you each have made? I honestly feel like if it was a $20 gift card, I would have turned it in. Why did $495 feel so life-changing? Thanks. Love the pod. All hail Erio's incredible work, ladies. All the best.
Wow. Jaws are dropped.
Wow.
In here.
Girl, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
It's good that she is.
But girl, you should have given that card back, girl.
You stole $500 from someone. Like, You, that's bad. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. We have to tell the truth. That's not okay.
Yeah.
There was a lot in that story, a waterfall of details that kind of just kept getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who returns something when I find it, unless it's like no one's around or whatever. And I'm like, well, you know, like if I'm in a field. But
yeah.
But like the other day I was coming out of Trader Joe's putting the bags in my car, and then I looked in the basket and I saw the garlic cloves weren't in any bag, and so I thought, oh my god, he didn't charge me for this thing of garlic, which is like 60 cents, and I thought to myself, should I go back and tell him? So that's where my guilt lies. But
yeah, knowing that there was someone there looking for the thing that you just found. Because, I mean, gift cards might be hard to track and figure out who purchased it. I don't know how that works. But if you heard someone saying that they were looking for it, it would... I got you, girl. And
yeah, and that is you missed a big I got you, girl moment.
Right. That was a ability to do some real good in the world, and you just skipped it.
Yeah.
Said, no thanks.
And then to be so devious to then buy the purses, get the cash, and then take your family to Disneyland.
And then, of all the rides, ride the Nemo ride.
Right.
Like,
but, okay, here's one thing for this person in this person's favor. Because my cousin has, like, a boss that's real fancy and gives her all this money, gift cards and stuff, to Lululemon. Mm-hmm. That feels like fake money, you know, like the boss is just throwing it around. So what if this girl just had, like, she gets this all the time, you know, like, was she distraught?
Yeah, it seems like she was distraught. It seemed like she running through the halls saying,
or was she just like calling her sugar daddy and saying like, oh, I forgot, can you send me another one?
Yeah, I mean, a gift card with $500, what it seems like to me is that this is her mom saying, this is a girl who's in college or a young woman, you know, we don't know her story, but mother gives her an allowance to buy a new wardrobe for that year. And that's really generous. It sounds like this person, you know, probably has a lot of support from their family. Mm-hmm. And that's nice. But that doesn't mean you get to steal from them.
I think you have to go back to that Nordstrom.
Okay.
And you have to stake it out, and you have to wait for her to come back, and then you have to find her and you have to give her back that $500. You really do. That is how you make this right.
What if she never returns to Nordstrom? Because that's such a hard...
No, she will. If I know her, she will. She'll return.
I'm also just curious of the concept of, if it were a $20 gift card, wanting to give that back. I feel like it might be the opposite, you know, of like, oh, it's just $20, like, yeah,
you would,
they won't
so.
Miss it.
Now I'm worried that this person, because sometimes on the show we talk about freebies, okay, so freebies are every once in a while the universe will gift you with something that's a little naughty treat, like
garlic.
Yeah, like garlic, I could say the garlic, that might be a freebie. That was no one intentionally doing something,
right? And so, I was already in the parking lot.
Yeah, and something to this level, this is not a freebie.
This is a crime.
If you had found the card and you had gone up and you had said, I found this card, and they had no way to track it, and then they were like, I guess just keep it because there's no way to track it. Like,
or they could have made an announcement and going like,
but you can't make an announcement. I mean,
everyone would come up.
So, but the fact that that person, you were positive that that person came in there, I mean, that's not a freebie. That's literally theft. But I have just to explore the situation. Is this, say that this person had swiped the gift card out of someone's purse, because she did just find it. You know, there's nothing wrong with picking up something off the ground. Is that as bad as literally stealing something from someone's purse?
Yes, because she saw the person looking for it and she actively kept it from her.
What about if she got the gift card, checked the balance, bought $100 worth of purses, and then gave the card to the girl at the coffee shop? $100 are missing, but there's still $300 there.
Is that as bad?
Well, then they go to Disneyland, you know, they buy the tickets.
I'm just left scratching my head.
She literally is scratching her head. I have another question for you guys. What if someone did give you a gift card for a store that you never shopped at and you didn't enjoy? Would you do the same thing of like buying an item and returning it for cash?
I think that's okay to
do. But most people don't. Most stores don't even do that anymore. Right. They're such jerks about it too.
Yeah.
To have like 10 receipts.
Well, I also, I actually think that that's like, fine, because then it's like once you give the gift, it's
if it's something belonging to you,
yeah I think that's fine. Now the other question here is that you and your husband both thought that this was okay,
right? I was thinking that too. He didn't put the brakes on this
No one did, and it sounds like you're pretty pleased with yourself
but troubled. They wrote in.
They did write in. Troubled. So I think like you must have, when you're writing this email, you must have known that we were.
She didn't seem to think that anything she did was wrong. She was like, I'm still okay with my decision.
Who's but, not then?
I know,
who's
but not okay? I think there's something, part of you that is, I think there's a part of you that knows that this is wrong and you wrote in to get checked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because normally here we're on the side of the listener. Normally. Yeah. Just because we usually there, you know, there is moral gray area and we can all relate. This is like beyond, and you do need to self-examine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've already gone to Disneyland, but maybe you can find a better purpose.
Yeah, the churro's been eaten.
Okay.
I wonder if the husband wasn't super cool with this and he's this sort of nagging voice in her mind. Mm-hmm. Nagging, I guess, is the wrong word, like a virtuous voice in her mind. She's definitely troubled. I feel that from
She said they were giddy.
Yeah, that was hard outside. That was,
but you see this girl looking for her gift card. I mean, think of on her side. The girl who lost the card, think of the turmoil she's going through, thinking...
This is a teenage girl. Like, that's the kind of stuff that would haunt... If that had happened to me when I was a teenage girl, like, that would haunt me for years.
Yeah. Let's say, hypothetically, that she didn't spend the money on going to Disneyland, that she spent the money on... her kid and maybe
hospital bills.
Or like school supplies or something that she couldn't afford, and the money actually was life changing.
Yes, for sure.
Is it okay in that case to do that?
No, because you're at that point, even though you found it, you're once you see the person who's it belongs to, you're now stealing.
No, it's fine. There's a quote: I never did a crime I didn't have to.
Who said that? Aladdin?
Tupac.
You and your husband gave someone, were directly responsible for one of the worst days in someone's life.
Yeah.
Also, there's another detail in this that is heartbreaking. So the balance on the gift card when she found it is $4.95. The girl left it. She was looking at the Nordstrom's espresso bar. Okay, so this is what happened. This girl got a gift card for $500. She used it to buy herself a latte and then lost it. That's heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking.
Damn.
That is heartbreaking. God.
So I'm not trying to, we're not shaming anyone, but we're just saying like.
Just a little wake up call.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay. And you should try and find a way to make amends.
But how? How could you even?
Maybe, what does she do next? Maybe the person writing in has never had something stolen from them and doesn't know what that feeling is.
Yeah, and it's so shocking too, because it's like things get taken and you're always like, who would do that? Like, who would do that? Like, I've had that happen to me where I left money in an ATM and I left $200 in an ATM drove away. This is because I never go to ATMs anymore. I never have cash on me. And I came back and I saw a guy leaving the ATM and he was looking at me and he had my cash and he knew I was looking for it and he didn't give it back.
Did you ask?
No, I was it was a little bit like I didn't feel safe asking.
Yeah.
But I was just like, this sucks. But it was my mistake, you know.
We got to look out for each other, you guys. That's the main thing. I mean, if you're not helping each other, then you're hurting each other. And there's no good that comes out of hurting someone. You know who said that?
Aladdin.
Maria.
So just, you know, use it as an opportunity to check in with yourself and your husband.
You got to balance the freebies with I got you girls. Yes, maybe lean so heavier true. On the I got you girl.
It's so true.
That's yeah. the only way to get back into
like, and maybe get further away from the concept of finders keepers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, guys, this was illuminating. Thank you so much for being here, Allie Paisley. Allie, we'll have you back on again.
No, I mean, I just feel like this is it.
No.
No, like this show honestly has been so good for my soul. I love listening to it on a plane. It's the best podcast to listen
really?
To on a plane. It passes the time. I'm laughing. People are looking at me. I love on a plane. And the other thing is, like, I literally think, what would the big ones do? I just had this happen to me with your guys' one about the lice. It helped me so much. Wow. I have to, honestly, Amanda, sorry, but I channel Maria more because she's more like hardcore about like morality. She is like, when I need to be tough, I think, okay, what's
would
Maria?
Maria'd say, stop, leave.
So what was the lice situation?
Just like, it's not worth, I can't really talk about it.
But yeah, Allie and I, we listen to the podcast every week. And when we were talking together about a little big one, we kept solving our little big ones together because we've listened to this podcast so much that we're like very morally centered in our brain right now.
It's all because
you guys. Great.
Well, it's not about solving it. It's about asking the right questions. It's about checking in with yourself.
True.
And it's all an exploration. Yes. That's all we do. It's like we're talking out these little issues. But I do feel like it does flex your morality muscle, and it makes you just take a beat before you make decisions sometimes, which totally. I don't think is sometimes all it takes to kind of make the right course. Now, unfortunately, this listener with the Nordstrom gift card,
they took the wrong road.
Yeah.
But
there's always next time.
There's always,
they can course correct.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Where can people find you? You want people to find you online?
Sure. For me, I have this unofficial Clippers Instagram. It's _ClippersNation_. I don't have the password yet to access the Instagram account.
What do you mean yet?
Well, I lost it and it's hard. I don't know.
So are there any posts?
Sure.
From like 5 years ago,
I think. Yeah, yeah.
But it's great content though.
Yeah, if you follow that, it would be good for me. Personally,
and it would maybe get you to find that password and maybe start posting again.
It would.
Okay.
A few new followers. Yeah.
Paisley.
You can find me on Instagram @Paisley, not plaid.
And can they subscribe to your newsletter?
Yes. If you DM me on Instagram, you can give me your email and I'll add you to my
newsletter. It's such a good newsletter.
It's the best newsletter I've
watched. Thanks.
She like gives a restaurant recommendation, music recommendations. What other kind of then you show your houses that like you're showing.
And on Halloween, she did like all these spooky houses for sale. Like, look at the spookiest houses for sale. And I saw one I wanted.
And like, let's get it.
Yeah.
As always, you can find us at The Big Ones Pod on Twitter. You can email us your big ones or your dear big ones at thebigonespodcast@gmail.com. And that's all she wrote.
Well, thanks so much for listening to
The Big Ones!
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.